KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Well, once a month, we're blessed to have a full hour with Brian Cochran from John Moore Associates. We do our Friday financial update typically every week, but diving in deep to a topic today and looking forward to hearing more with Brian. Thanks for coming in again, Brian.
Yeah, my pleasure. And it's one of my favorite topics we're hitting today, so I'm very excited.
Well, and what we're talking about is something we kind of touched on recently, but talking about leaving wealth that really stays for generations. And, I know part of what we'll get to is what the Bible has to say about this, which I always appreciate. Brian, when we're talking with someone like you who's a certified kingdom advisor, it's always a joy to include scripture. And we're going to, it's not going to take long for us to get there in this segment, talking a little bit about some research that you found, which, by the way, I'll mention this a couple of times. On the website at johnmoore.com, under the Insights tab, which we mention almost every week, it's a free resource. You can go there, but you'll want to check out the article there, Wealth That Stays for Generations. But there's really some interesting research that's been done about families and their wealth.
Yeah, and one of the big takeaways there, Steve, was that no matter the size of your wealth, most wealth will not last three generations. So about 70% of families are unsuccessful getting present wealth down to what would be my grandkids, for example.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons for that we'll talk about today, but it's really sad because we know that, if we follow biblical principles, we can accumulate wealth, and wealth could be millions of dollars or it could be $100,000. So for every family, that number is different. But the concept here is that we are stewards of that wealth, and true wealth, in my opinion, is multi-generational.
Yeah.
And so if we manage it wisely, but also prepare the next generations, then that can be successfully handed over, which is not the norm.
And I think it's goes without saying, we're talking about financial wealth, but as you were saying that, I was applying spiritual wealth is equally applied to a lot of what we'll probably be talking about. And it's just as important. And I know that's the case with you and the staff at John Moore Associates and with Kingdom Advisors. And again, right back to the scripture. But yeah, today, clearly, we're talking about financial wealth and passing that along to generations.
Yeah. And what our industry is coming to understand and what scripture tells us clearly is that those two things, the wisdom that comes from spiritual understanding and wealth and the proper stewardship of our financial resources are very connected. And so some of the scripture that supports this, Proverbs 22:6, this is a common sort of defining verse for a lot of schools, for example, is train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we're supposed to train up our children, not just to get them out of the house and make them independent and get them off the payroll, as we like to say, but also so that when they are old, they will have that knowledge and that wisdom. And we often note that Proverbs 22:7, the next verse says, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. So maybe there's not a coincidence there that we say train up a child, make him wise, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, teach him that debt is not a good thing, that borrower is slave to the lender. And then in terms of actual inheritance, as we think of it, Proverbs 13:22 says that a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but the wealth of a sinner is stored up for the righteous. So the idea there is it is good to transfer wealth amongst multiple generations. So the topic we're discussing here today is not just a good idea or it's nice to have the thought that my children and my grandchildren might benefit from the resources I'm growing today, but it's also biblical and good to create that multi-generational wealth. And I would note there's, most people have heard the term, shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations, and every culture, many cultures have some form of that. that term of, you know, basically within a couple of generations, wealth is lost, right? And we were having this conversation recently at a Kingdom Advisor study group, so a group of local financial professionals who we gather every month, and we learn and we challenge each other on these topics. And one of the people in that group noted that actually one of the cultures that doesn't have that phrase is the Jewish culture. They have this timeless, transcendent scripture and wisdom from God that tells them how to manage money wisely, and they teach it to generations. So they don't have the same wealth transfer challenge at the same scale as the rest of cultures that maybe don't successfully move money down through the generations.
You know, as we talk about this, and, you know, the goal is to be successful in doing it and doing it well, to leave a good legacy. I said, you know, and I think train up a child. If we're not intentional about doing it as God intended us to do it, we are off the mark, and we're training our children that. Mm-hmm. And I want to mention that because, you know, it's one thing to willy-nilly, okay, yeah, I should probably, you know. However, you love your children, you know. It's unnatural to not love. You may not like your kids. It's from time to time.
Or you may have a favorite.
Yeah. But you love them and you want the best for them. And if you're not purposing to learn these things for yourself, to pass to the generations, you're really not loving them best the way you best can. Yeah, I would say, including myself. I'm talking to myself. I'm holding up a mirror, it's that important, you know, not to neglect the things that God calls us to do. And when we realize we're off track, to make the corrections. And that's something else, you know, Brian. I don't know how much you want to talk about that because it can. We've talked about this before. You can feel defeated. From past things that, you know, have happened financially or, you know, in other ways, training up your kids. God is full of grace.
And what I'd say about that, Steve, is we started to see this as the biggest concern for the families we serve at John Moore Associates. So we manage about $1 billion on behalf of about 650 families. And you would think their biggest concern would be the markets going up and down or managing their taxes. But what we saw weighing on our clients in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, more than anything, was this feeling that their heirs were not equipped and prepared to manage what they might inherit down the line, mm-hmm. whether it's $500,000 or $5 million or $50 million. And what we started to do is really make an intentional effort as a company to help these families train up their children, because we don't always feel equipped to do that in the area of finance.
And you have generations come in.
Yeah, yeah, we have many, many families we serve that are three generations. We have one family that our founder, John Moore, started serving in the 80s, that we are in the fifth generation of that family serving them. So we have an obligation to serve that family well, and it would be a shortfall, or it'd be a failure on our part if we didn't, you know, not just prepare the money for the heirs, but prepare the heirs for the money.
Yeah.
You know, so good financial planning should include good estate planning and good tax planning. All those things are important. But if we do all that great for generation one and we do nothing to equip generation two, then what is the purpose? Keeping in mind that we are stewards, all of it's God's wealth, and we are to help manage that transition and then the ongoing stewardship. So we started to make intentional efforts to offer money 101 sessions. We've talked about that here before, where we teach the teenagers and 20-something children and grandchildren of our clients, you know, principles, not just, you know, strategies, but true principles of good money management. We invite that next generation into meetings that we have to review the finances of generation one and generation two. So we try to create a dialogue there. And then we host family meetings where we go through the structure of the wealth and the estate plan, trying to instill an understanding in the next generation, because in the absence of that, I've got tons of stories of how that can go south very quick, even for the families with the best intentions, but with no wise execution of this.
And that's part of what I wanted to touch on before we go to a break. You and I have had conversations in the past about not only planning well, but communicating well. Mm-hmm. That's another thing at johnmoore.com on the Insights tab. Our listeners can find some encouragement about some of the things you need to sit down together before someone's very ill or, mm-hmm. While everyone's able to have the discussion that they think, I'm going to guess that a lot of people think that's a uncomfortable conversation. But it's really a loving conversation because the poor person who needs to deal with after someone passes and passing along wealth and the red tape and the documents to go through, it's just so much easier passing along that wealth and what the person who worked to do that intended. And they'll find it on the Insights tab, which I want to mention, Brian, if someone's looking for any of the topics we're talking about on the Insights tab and we draw them there and they go and they look and they search mm-hmm. and they're not finding it, I'm imagining they can just call the office and say, hey, I was looking for something on your Insights tab, having a hard time. If they called you at 881-5100, someone can kind of aim them in the right direction.
Exactly. And we've been doing this blog posting and videos for so long now that we actually have quite a library of resources. So when you go to Insights, there's also a search feature where you can choose wealth transfer. And it will break down just the posts that are associated with that. So if you don't want to think about taxes or faith-based investing or something like that, you want to just get to the wealth transfer topics and say, okay, what are some things I can learn here? Because it's never too early to get started on this. When you have, even if you have very young children, and we'll talk more in our next segments about, sort of where people go wrong with this, but also what you can do right. So that'll be some encouragement, but then there's more resources on these topics.
Very good. Looking forward to it. We're visiting the full hour today with Brian Cochran from John Moore Associates. We're going to be back right after this on ABQ Connect.
This is ABQ Connect.
A full hour today with Brian Cochran from John Moore Associates for our Friday financial update. And Brian, if you can, just quickly rehash what we covered in our first segment for those who may have missed it.
Sure. We talked about one of the challenges of wealth is transferring wealth, not just building it, but moving it along. And the fact that 70% of families will not successfully transfer funds between three generations and some of the reasons for that. But also we talked about God's calling through Scripture that we train up the next generation to be wise, including matters of money, and that it's good to leave an inheritance to your children's children. So these principles we're talking about are not just fun to talk about. It's not just good to think that we might be able to better prepare our heirs, but it's also biblical to do so.
All right, and then most of this segment, if not all, we're going to talk about some of the areas we're missing the mark.
Yeah, and there's four key areas we'll talk about, and these are all extremely common. And as you listen to this, I would encourage listeners to think about if they've ever received an inheritance, which of these areas were shortfalls in their experience, and then maybe where they're falling short in preparing their next generation or the next generations for wealth. And the first of those is so common, and it's very simple. You touched on it, Steve, in the first segment, lack of communication. People just are not talking about money, and there's a lot of reasons for that, but you can imagine how not talking about the wealth would lead to an unsuccessful transfer.
And I know hopefully people are taking notes. There's a few other things we want to address with our address. Moving on, emotional – we've talked about this before, emotional decision-making. And, that's – it's not just with finances, let's be transparent. Families they bicker mm-hmm. and sometimes get really kind of loud fighting about things sometimes. And finances often are, fuel for that and other areas. But regardless of what it is, at the heat of those things, and when you're emotional, it's just not a good time to make life-impacting decisions.
Yeah, we like to say that money is neutral. It can be good or bad. but it exposes things. So when you start to introduce money into a family that already has emotional dysfunction, it's a pretty good chance that you're going to exasperate, you know, you're going to expand any of those emotional issues. So lack of communication is number one. As you said, emotional decision making is number two. We want to be rational and have a good strategy. Number three is sudden wealth syndrome. The fact that often heirs receive money in a lump sum and it creates sudden wealth that they are not prepared to manage. And we'll get to talk about that more.
Which we see historically, routinely, with lottery winners.
Mm-hmm. Plenty of stories.
Yeah. I mean, it's similar. It's, you know, mm-hmm. very, very similar.
Especially when, if you start to add these up, if you didn't have the communication, so you had no idea you're about to get sudden wealth.
Yeah.
And then you get it. I mean, you really aren't equipped to manage it. And the last one's just simple family dynamics, which kind of captures all of these. But especially with blended families, which are very common these days, you've got a whole different set of relationship dynamics that can alter the way all of this transfers, whether it's pressure on the trustee or the executor who's taking care of an estate, or it's resentment if one side of the family or one family member is getting more than another. So those family dynamics, again, they may already be a little bit shaky. You throw on a bunch of money into the situation and it expands. So all of these four. So again, lack of communication, emotional decision-making, sudden wealth syndrome, and then the fourth is family dynamics. You start to add all these together, and sometimes all four of these are issues for families.
And a reminder, I mentioned at the top of the hour, in the beginning of our discussion, a lot of the content we're talking about today, you'll find in an article and actually a video. Mm-hmm. Found a posting at Insights tab at johnmoore.com, Wealth That Stays for Generations. And, you know, there's a blog to read there, Brian, but there's actually an hour-long video. Is most of the content we're talking about today found there?
Yep, we're pulling this right out of that video. And that video is a presentation that our founder, John Moore, provided to an audience of high net worth, very generous families that was presented back in the fall and was very, very well received. So it's very worth listening to. You could watch the video. It is something you could just put on in your Bluetooth and listen to in the car, and you'd be able to get most of the concepts without seeing the content.
Yeah.
But it's powerful and full of concepts, I think, that'll be valuable for families of all net worths and all different structures.
How many years ago did John retire?
Was it 2022?
Okay. So he's been retired for 3 years, but this isn't 3 years old.
No, this is from late last year.
Yeah. Okay. So talking about passing on wealth, and we talked earlier about not just applying it to financial wealth, but here's, you know, John Moore Associates, the founder, who's retired, who's continuing to show all of us, you may be retired, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Really the Bible doesn't necessarily address retirement that I'm aware of.
No.
And here he is showing a great example, not only to his family, but to us, that he continues to lovingly share the wealth of information he has with future generations.
That's great. And John often talks about rehirement, not retirement. So he feels like he was hired on to another calling and has remained very active in our industry of biblical financial advice and the area of generosity. It's been great.
Any more on these four areas?
I would just note that we're going to talk more about how to address some of these areas, but the core of this is really the communication issue.
Okay.
And what I'd note is if you have family dynamics that are problematic, if you have emotional issues within the family or challenges, which we all do at some level, the lack of communication, I should say, stems from issues in other areas. So, for example, we had one family, we said, hey, we should really start communicating with your sons now that they're older about your wealth and how this would work as you get older, and they may need to support you in managing your own resources, and then also when you pass. And for them, they said, well, we've got son A is very financially responsible, so we'll be an open book with him. But son B isn't great with money, so I don't want to talk about numbers with him. So the lack of communication stemmed from a lack of education on the second son. And anyone who has multiple children knows that they'll all be just born with God-given strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
And money is one of those areas that could be a strength or a weakness. So I don't blame them for having those two things. But I said, well, rather than keeping your son be in the dark, why don't you allow us to start to equip him with biblical principles of good money management for a few years? Let's teach him. Let's start to walk alongside him in his personal finances. And then that will equip him then to have these conversations. So we're trying to remove the barriers of communication. And I use that example, Steve, to note that if you're having problems talking about money or you've never talked about money, I'd really encourage you to look inside yourself, pray on it, and say, God, why can't I talk to my kids about money? And then start to break down those barriers. It's never too late to start doing that. And I think I do a fairly good job. I have sons that are 14 and 16. And actually, just this week, one of my sons was learning about some financial stuff at his school. And he asked, what percentage of our income do we pay in taxes? And so I sent him a text message with a full breakdown. Here's our gross income. Here's how much we paid in federal tax, state tax. I paid tax in Arizona and New Mexico. Here's how much we paid in property tax. And I broke it all down. Then I got very sick to my stomach actually running all those numbers. But I'm an open book with my kids when it comes to our money because I don't want it to be a mystery to them. I don't want them to think that money's a taboo topic for us to talk about. So I'm thankful that that school lesson triggered that. But if you don't have that kind of transparency with your children, whether they're 15 or 50, I would encourage you to spend some time on that, with yourself and in prayer and with your spouse if you have one, and then start to break those barriers down because it's not impossible and it may not be part of your family culture today, but it's a tradition you can build that then your heirs can start to continue and break down that lack of communication.
All right, listen, if you just tuned in, we're spending the full hour today, our Friday Financial Update with Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates, and we're going to press on here in our third segment. Again, the website to find that Insights tab is johnmoore.com, right at the top of the page, Insights, johnmoore.com, 505-881-5100. We're going to be back with more right after this on ABQ Connect. Welcome back in. We're in the middle of a conversation with Brian Cochran at John Moore Associates and a full hour today on the topic of transferring wealth, not just to your children, but for generations, plural. On johnmoore.com, under the Insights tab, you'll find the blog posting Wealth That Stays for Generations. And Brian, communication in both of our first two segments was key, and we'll press on there.
Yeah, and I think it's a great place to start. And so when we talk about communication about money, some of you who haven't gone down this road are thinking, what am I supposed to do? Just talk to my kids about how much money I have, or talk to them about what my will says about how the money will transfer, and what does this look like in practice? And what I would say is transparency and frequency are the two keys here. Okay, don't make it a rare conversation, but also don't make it a sort of halfway conversation. If you're going to get into this, be willing to be transparent. It's all going to come out eventually when you're gone, and it's irresponsible. A lot of times I hear things along the lines of, I've excluded one of my children from my will, but I'm not going to tell him. He'll find out when I'm dead. Well, that's not very wise stewardship of your resources or of the family relationships. I mean, what does that leave your children in terms of a relational dynamic if one's been excluded from the estate? These are things to have the courage to address while you're alive is important. So one good thing we often recommend to clients is anytime you update your estate plan, create a short family meeting just to express any changes you've made and what your intent is and why.
As you say that, scripture comes to mind, so I'm going to share it.
Please.
As much as it is possible for you, be at peace with all men. And if you go the route you're talking about, we're like, I'm just not leaving anything. The friction it's going to cause between siblings after you're gone, and have you done it? And listen, you may be able to reconciliate in areas and still not have someone in a will, and then better understand, why that happened. There's all kinds of situations there. However, I do think if the Bible is your standard, that's a command that we're given. I don't want to be dogmatic about that's not the way to do it. It's probably not the way to do it.
Yeah.
I would encourage if someone's at that point, that they really pray about, you know, what was happening. And, when you say that, I'm just like, oh, how bad must things be?
And it's not uncommon, Steve. This is not a one-off thing. I would say it's almost the norm to not communicate your estate intent, especially if there's some sort of special provisions that favor one family member over another.
Yeah.
So the communication is absolutely key. And sometimes it helps to have a facilitator, a financial advisor, have the estate attorney that prepares.
Non-emotional.
Just explaining the rationale, the strategy, the why. Again, these conversations are going to happen. It's just a matter of whether you're there to express your true heart and your intent in these matters. Through that, a lot of times you'll start to expose how much wealth you have. And for some families, that can be a challenge. One area I've seen that I really struggle with as an advisor and having seen many families transfer wealth is we often see family members. Let's say I've got my two sons and I'll see a family that says, well, I'm going to put my sons as equal beneficiaries on my estate, but I don't want to tell them how much they're going to get because this son is, you know, my second son is less responsible with money. And so I'm going to keep it in the dark. And my question there is, how are you going to transfer wealth to somebody if you're not even willing to share with that person the amount they'll get?
Yeah.
So if they are not even equipped to hear that they're going to get that wealth, how is it responsible as for you as a steward? And this isn't your money to do whatever you want with. This is God's resources. How is it responsible for you as a steward to transfer money to somebody if you aren't even confident they can even understand the amount? And so what's the challenge there? So think about, why am I not willing to communicate? Okay, that steward is not prepared. So prepare him, prepare her, you know, say, and you touched on that in the first segment. Yeah.
Train them up.
And if they are not prepared, then you are dealing with someone who should probably not be the steward. That's a question you have to wrestle with personally. But I'm amazed how often we see this where there's a family member that they don't trust to even, and we'll often say, gift them some money now while they're alive. Well, I don't trust them to manage $10,000 in a gift, but you're going to leave them $1 million in an inheritance? How can those two things exist in the same world? So if you start going down the communication route, what it's going to do is expose the gaps in your wealth transfer plans.
Okay, I'm thinking about that. Okay, and that's not uncommon. You said $10,000 gift. Especially for elderly who are managing end of year things and gifts and how much they could do annually. We've talked about that in the past. People can look that up on the Insights tab. Part of training could be I want to do this gift, but I also, and to be transparent about what you're doing, but I also want to train you. Mm-hmm. So when I'm gone and you receive an inheritance, all the things you just said, that this isn't mine and this isn't yours. This is the Lord's, and I want to train you to be a good steward with this. I'm prepared to give you this gift. Let's talk about what you'll do with it. Mm-hmm. And then walk through that with them and land on something that is, there's a part of me, maybe the flesh part of me that's like, man, you're trying to be so controlling. But if your heart is really to train and to love and prepare them, and when they land on something that's appropriate based on scripture, let's go do that. Yep. Let's do that.
And we often tell people when they go through their estate planning exercise before they're communicating that to their heirs, and you're thinking about transferring wealth to a certain person in your family, ask yourself, what's the best case scenario of them receiving this wealth? What's the worst case scenario of what they might do with this wealth? And what's the most likely outcome? And if that worst case scenario or the most likely outcome are not good things, you need to be thoughtful about that. God did not give you, I don't think God made any of us wealthy so that we could just spoil our kids.
Yeah.
I suspect he's not using wealth for that purpose. So whether it means you end up giving more to charity or you end up coaching the children more before they receive it. So we just had a call this week actually with a client who is setting up a percentage of her estate to go to her grandchildren, who right now are very young, 3 to 6 years old. So if she were to pass away in 10 years, for example, you know, you don't want to give a 16-year-old, it could be up to seven figures they would receive. So we talked about keeping that money in trust and then requiring that they go through some financial literacy training before they can start to receive any money, and then keeping somebody who's helping steward that with them until they are in an age where they have more life experience. Now, like you said, could that be controlling? Yeah. Or is that just wise stewardship? It's not good stewardship to throw $1 million in the pocket of an 18-year-old. So these are good principles. So communicating about this. So if you're putting money in trust for somebody, you get to communicate while you're alive. Why is that? Okay. You get to communicate how you built the wealth and the principles you used. I'll use an example there. We had a client who was just an amazingly diligent and wise investor. She was just incredible. And she passed rather suddenly. She was in her 70s and her health turned very quickly. And she had never allowed us to really engage with her children. One of the sons inherited half the wealth. Now, mom was always a very risky investor, not speculative, but she was able to tolerate the sudden moves of stock market volatility. And the son insists, he goes, I want to just own whatever mom owned because she built great wealth with you guys, and I want to make sure I keep doing the same and honor my mother. Well, the first time a market correction came, he sold out of the market, bailed out, and made all kinds of bad
decisions.
That's
not what she did.
And it's because she never transferred, she never communicated, son, I'm going to leave you this. It was a surprise to him that she had as much wealth as she had. It was a surprise to him that he received a big share of it. And then he had no education. She had not communicated to him the principles and the strategies she'd use to get to that point of significant wealth. And so he squandered it. He blew it. He failed. The wealth transfer failed. And that was one of the instances actually that triggered us to
be
more
intentional. It's really sad because as well as she did, she failed too.
Exactly, in a way. Yeah. So, and I would note, it took her decades to build that wealth, and he made two bad decisions that squandered a big percentage of it. Yeah. So all of her intentionality, all of her wise stewardship, out the door, out the window, instantly. And that brings us to another point. Part of his bad decision-making came not from him, but from a spouse. So as you're having this communication, be inclusive. Many, many of the wealth transfer conflicts we see in terms of contested estates or problems during estate settlements do not come from the children of the person who's passed, but from the in-laws. So if my parents are passing, it wouldn't be me that's creating friction. It's my spouse is in my ear saying, oh, you deserve more. That's not right. You know, your brother's the trustee. He should sell that house for more. He should keep that property and rent it. You know, there's this extra voice. So including the in-laws, you expose those cracks and expose that friction before you're gone and can't, you know, sort of referee that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of communication concepts here.
Brian, tell us how you mentioned the executor. Mm-hmm. How much should we be praying for that person?
It's one of the most thankless jobs out there. And we have more than one client who has a broken relationship where they do not speak with a sibling because they served as the trustee or the executor and the other person was resentful about the structure of the estate plan or the execution of the estate plan.
Another good reason for clear communication, because, you know, I'm going to imagine do people ever set up with so-and-so and so-and-so will be the executor, co-managers, co-presidents, you know, which, personally, I just don't see that working. But if you have an executor and there's that clear communication, then a lot of those things aren't, you know, the people who are receiving the wealth, the stewardship of the wealth, will better understand what the executor is dealing with.
Well, and we see many estate plans where the executor didn't know they were the executor or trustee. I mean, they did, let alone being prepared for the specific assets and challenges. They didn't even know that was going to be their job. So one of the first things we sit down with and talk about families when we bring multiple generations together is let's talk about the roles and responsibilities that have been assigned amongst the family and really understand what you need to do to be equipped to serve that role. And sometimes what comes out of that is someone raises their hand and says, I understand why you chose me and that seems like an honor, but now that I understand what that entails, I'm out.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I have a life. I think if I've declined personally a trustee role for multiple family members because they're like, you're the money guy in the family. I'll let you be my trustee. I'm like my life yesterday, I left yesterday at 7:30 a.m., Steve. I got home at 11 p.m. Where in there am I supposed to stop and be your executor? Yeah. Like, I've got a full life. And it is an honor to be considered the responsible party, but this idea that it's somehow a privilege to be your executor,
yeah,
it is a job.
Yeah. I think, it's important for the rest of the family to understand and appreciate that.
Yeah.
Brian, give us a sneak peek at segment four.
So we're going to talk about this idea. We've talked about it, I think, well already, but we'll go deeper into this idea of transferring not just the wealth and the money, but also the values and the principles.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com, right after this on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect.
All right, our final segment of our Friday financial update today with the president of John Moore Associates, Brian Cochran. And we are essentially walking through the information found on the blog at the Insights tab at johnmoore.com, which is a free resource. You can go there anytime. Go check it out. Wealth That Stays for Generations is the title of the blog posting, which includes a one-hour video, as Brian mentioned, of John Moore addressing these issues. Then the blog you can read through as well. Where are we headed in our final segment here, Brian?
Well, I think it's appropriate to jump back to Scripture, and let's talk about this idea. We've talked today a lot about transferring money, but also transferring principles and wisdom. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, there's some wonderful specific references to both wisdom and wealth. So I want to share that, and then we can break that down a little bit as we close up. It says that wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this: wisdom preserves those who have it. Wisdom preserves those who have it. And if you think about it, Steve, this is a great representation of where we are as a nation right now. We're the wealthiest nation in the history of humanity.
$30 trillion.
But we have so many areas that we're broken.
Yeah.
And it's because we have all the wealth, but we don't always live by wisdom. And we know that true wisdom is from God. It's His principles. And so what I would encourage you to think about as we reflect on this last hour we've had together is, one, do I have a strategy for transferring my wealth? Two, is that strategy wise? Does it reflect biblical principles, good stewardship? Three, if it is, have I communicated that strategy to my heirs? And then four, if not, why? Why have I not communicated? And am I transferring wealth or wisdom or both? Okay. So if you use this example here from Scripture, wisdom is a shelter as money is a shelter, but there's an advantage to wisdom. The advantage of knowledge is this: wisdom preserves those who have it. So what this says to me is, if I had a choice of transferring money or transferring wisdom, I would transfer the wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us have wealth we're building that will be transferred by default or through a good strategy. So we're choosing the wealth part, or it's going to happen despite our choices. But where is the wisdom component? Are we sheltering the next generation with God's word, with His principles for good stewardship and good living in general? And how are we preparing that next generation?
And as you say that, are we sheltering? Are we preparing? Replace those words with love.
Mm-hmm.
Are we loving the next generation by preparing them, by sheltering them, by sharing wisdom with them?
Yeah. Another way to ask that is it loving to transfer just wealth but not wisdom?
Yeah.
And I would say, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And you have, by the way, you have God's word as a source of wisdom. You also have decades of your own personal highs and lows, wins and losses, experiences you have around money. And one of the best ways to transfer wisdom is share the things you did wrong.
Yeah.
Here's the mistakes I made. Please don't learn the hard way like I did. I'm amazed how often we see that where people don't have those conversations. You know, well, I made mistakes with debt. I made mistakes with speculation. I made mistakes with greed, and I regret not being more generous or saving earlier. All these things we have, our regrets and our mistakes, we don't share that, but we build wisdom, we build knowledge that way and experience, and you overlay God's word on top of your experiences, boy, that's an inheritance.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You know, people can flippantly say, learn from your mistakes. They are so valuable. It brings to mind an executive type story where guy makes a $1 million mistake at a company and he gets called into the office, brings his letter of resignation, and the CEO says, "What are you doing? I just spent $1 million training you."
Yeah, exactly. and we may not have spent $1 million training ourselves, but I guarantee you, everyone listening has made some money mistake that has built some calluses and some knowledge. So I think that's a great challenge to us, is to think about that, you know. And also, as we're accumulating in our lifetime, are we accumulating just the money side, or are we also accumulating wisdom that we can share? I mean, there's so much here to unpack just in these verses, but I think it is a good challenge for us to think about that differently. And you might be crushing it on the wealth side right now. You might be growing your net worth, successful businesses, successful
investments. Financially. Yeah,
you might be doing great there. But if you have heirs and you are not transferring what you know and what God says about money, you are falling short. And as you said, that is not a loving way to transfer to the next generation. And so start thinking about this challenge. And I'd encourage you to go deeper in this topic. Definitely watch that video on the Insights tab. John's a fabulous communicator. His video was really, really well done. And it's just chock full of concepts that go deeper into what we talked about today.
And as we put a bow on this, often we review what we covered. Let me do this. Let me take note of the scripture that we shared today and revisit the scripture, Ecclesiastes 7:11-14. And actually what Brian read was from the NIV there, and Proverbs 22:6, Proverbs 13:22. Also you can revisit the whole conversation, a couple different places. It'll be posted shortly at abqconnect.online. And of course the blog posting you'll find at John Moore Associates website at johnmoore.com under the title Wealth That Stays for Generations. As always, Brian, thank you for the wisdom you share with us every week. And that is loving. It's greatly appreciated, and the support you give to this community, whether through the support of this station and in other areas, so much greatly appreciated. Look forward to having you back in for another update.
Yeah, my pleasure. Appreciate you having me.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.